weren't quite sure what the nature of the din is. We weren't quite sure whether it spills over to one guy or putting another guy. That was all from Rev, but that's pretty much we left off the sugya yesterday. So we had a very fascinating raya from the Machane Ephraim, based in his very unique way of reading the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah. The Machane Ephraim understood that when the Gemara says that when Klai Yisrael Chayte, they worship the Egel, so they were as if they were Mamana Shlichim, to all the goyim in Eretz Israel, to bow down to all the trees, all the Asheris, and Hocus Pocus, based on the principle of Shlichos. That's the reason why we're not concerned with Ein Adamai Yisrael Davashen Shalai. So the Machane Ephraim says, how does that work? Ein Shlichos La'akom? No, because this would be an exception to the rule, because this is a goyim pointing another goy as a Shliach, similar to the idea of the Masas Ben Yavin. This is, of course, this is Masas Ben Yavin plus a million times over. Masas Ben Yavin was talking about when they're Mamish to Goyim, Jim and Joe. Whereas here, the Machane Ephraim is talking about Yaakov Shmerel, who Nebuch became an Ovid of Erezara, and now somehow he becomes Dino Ka'akob, these halachos, and he can appoint another Goyim to be a Shaliach. That's a what? That's a Kachidish, a Gabi Chidish, a Gabi Chidish. That's what Machane Ephraim saw in this moment of Ovid Erezara. So the end is, can you tell, is that other Achvarim say, you don't see anything with the Gemara in Berezar, because the Gemara in Berezar is not even talking about Shlichas. The Gemara didn't really mean it. That's a literal Shlichas. The Machane Ephraim is such a lamdin. So he saw, even in a Gemara in Berezar, that between you and me, it probably has nothing to do with Shlichas. Didn't Shlichas halacha. And he was able to medayik his great Chiddush. The Gemara never meant anything like that. The Gemara didn't even talk about Shlichas. But we're going to go back into the world of the Machane Ephraim for a moment and really try to understand. Even a niyach that he's right, that the Gemara meant it literally a din from Shlichos, are all the facts correct? This is really an example of a goy pointing another goy as a shlich. It's not true. The Jews, as bad as the Chetega was, they were still Jewish, weren't they? Just the fact they're over the Avodah Zarah, now they're not Jewish. Is that true? So there are two different statements of Chazal that seem to bear out on this topic, that there is a question how exactly to resolve these two statements, and this is going to impact potentially on this Machane Ephraim. So we're going to put the Machane Ephraim on the hold for a moment, get a little bit of a background to this question that we should have raised, and then to be able to plug it back into our main sugya. The Gemara does speak in the beginning of Maseches Chulin about a situation where a person does an Aveira, terrible, terrible Aveira. And there are degrees of terrible Aveira. The worst of the worst becomes an Ovid of a Nazar. Or becomes a Bechal Shabbat Prehesia, whatever that means or doesn't mean, Bisman Hazet, now for now. A person does an Aveira that's not just, you know, not just he fell and did an Aveira, but he does something that really undermines the very essence of Yadus. Rashi in Maseches Chulin writes that why is it the Bechal Shabbat Prehesia undermines the essence of Yadus? It's an Aveira. There's a lot of Yisur Eskila out there. A person does Issa's schema X, Y, and Z doesn't necessarily equate him to an Ovid Vedazar. So why is it that we always lump together Vedazar and Chul Shabbos for Hesis? Rashi explains, because the Chumras HaYisr of Chul Shabbos is not the Issa Skila Shabbat. There are a lot of Yisur out there, the Yisur Skila. The real problem in Shabbos is it's an act of Kfira. It's a declaration of Kfira against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi, Dunya too. A bit of a Zara. What makes a bit of Zara so profoundly horrible, what makes it so undermining everything, is because it's a kfir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to other Averis, a person could say, you know, listen, I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm really a good guy, I'm basically a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, but every once in a while I violate Isser X, Y, and Z. You know, Isser X, Y, and Z is a Isser HaChomer B'Yosef. It's terrible, terrible. It's a skeeless, right? For Erica. It's terrible. But the person's still in the ballpark. He still basically is part of the system. When a person becomes a kofer b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, he can't even talk about mitzvahs. Even if the person every once in a while does a mitzvah, he worships idols, but he also puts on tefillin. He worships idols, but he keeps yom tov also. That's what Rashi quotes in Parshas Kosai when it says, it's a list of seven different dargas, famous Rashi, seven different degrees of chait that appear in Parshas Kosai. So a person starts off, he doesn't learn, and does the mitzvahs, then he stops on it. Eventually, he's kaifer be'ikar. When the person is kaifer be'ikar, once you're kaifer in the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then you can't talk about mitzvahs. Even a mitzvah that you do, if you're a kaifer b'shevach, what do you mean mitzvahs? It's not a mitzvah. Mitzvah, by definition, means there's a mitzvah. So if you don't believe in your Rabbi Shlo, so the men of the mitzvah said Ishkei mitzvahs. So the same is true, Rashi writes, Mechal Shabbos first. Why? A person is Mechal Shabbos, it's not just an aveira of Mechal Shabbos. It's a declaration of kfir of Hashem. The Rosh Hashem is not the very Eilam Chalvila. So if a person makes that declaration, the Rosh Hashem didn't create the world, so that's tantamount to kfir, Bechadosh Baruch Hu. The basic definition of the Ribbono Shalom is Kishma again, Ribbono Shalom, is the Bari HaOlam. If a person doesn't believe in the Bari HaOlam, as is demonstrated by your lack of Shmir Shabbos, so that is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. That's why in the Ichrei and Rai, let's say you have a fellow who is a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, but he happens not to be a Koifer. We know for a fact he's not a Koifer in Bari HaOlam. Why is he being Mechal Shabbos for Hesia? Nebuch has to make a parnasa, so it's a terrible thing, and we're not condoning it, we're not advocating for him. But in terms of the Maisa Kfir Shavoy, it's not the Chil Shabbos Bitam Chomer Skila that creates the status of Mechal Shabbos and Dina Kedir Venezara, but rather it's the Kfir Shavoy that's the source of the problem. That's where the Aruch Haner, I don't know who the Aruch Haner was, Rav Ellinger. So he wrote a Chuv, he wrote the Sefer Achoner, and Shastin wrote it, the Chuv's Bin Zion. He was Chosh Chosh Barak in Germany in the early 1800s, and he had a very, very famous Talmud. And the most famous Talmud?
Hirsch.
Shem Shavosh was the Talmud of Rav Yachad Ellinger. If you go down to Breuer's, you can go say hello to my daughter, but if you go down to Breuer's, so one of the teachers in the preschool is, last name is Ellinger. He's a descendant of Rabbi Yaakov Ellinger. That's why I got a job teaching in the Shem Shavuot. His last name is Ellinger. So she was one of my kids' preschool teacher. Anyway, get back to the story. That part wasn't relevant for me. Usually, you see guys want to be in my shiur a couple of weeks, but you guys, if they hang out in my shiur long enough, so then they know everything about my family. My kids are always very, they get like a little nervous about that. My wife always gets nervous about that. She says, why do I tell so many silly stories about the family? Because it makes me more alive. People should think, I also have a wife, I always have kids, I also have real things going on in my life. Not just ketosim and those are the real things. This is the fake stuff. I also have kids running. Okay, get back to the story. So that's Ellinger, and if you have a fellow who we know he believes in the Rebbe Shalom, we know he believes in Sheshes Yom in Maaseh Bereishis, but Nebuch, he has the Yetzer, he's got to make a parnasa, he wants to make a couple of dollars on Shabbos, keeps the store open, he goes to work on Shabbos. So he says, it's a terrible thing, and we're not condoning it, but he's not a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, with all the ramifications thereof. So this tshuva of the Aruch Haner was quoted very often, the Shabbos to come up in America. In the early years, when the Jews came to America in the early 1900s, there were many people who never weren't able to withstand the Nisayin of Chil Shabbos. So they went to work, but they were afraid they had to make the parnasa. It was a terrible thing. It was Hashem Yirachem. They had to go to work in Shabbos. But again, we're not condoning it, but the Maaseh people did it. But they felt terrible about it, and they believed in the Rebbe Shalom. How do I know they believed in the Rebbe Shalom? They made Kiddush Friday night. Their wives Ben Shlach Friday night. They would have a Suda Shabbos, and they would even go Daven Shachris on Shabbos morning. Anyone know what phenomenon we have in America because of that? The Hashkamim and Yonim. Everyone thinks today, if I daven Hashkamim, that's the Frumi Minyan. Those are the Yeshivshi guys. The guys who want to daven Earls, they can sit and learn all day, right? Okay? That's the Hashkamim Minyan. So the Hashkamim and Yonim in America was started. Nebuch, so the people could Balbatim go to work after daven. They were started, they would come to daven 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, and then by 8 o'clock, by 9 o'clock, they were done, and they would go to work. That was the original institution of Hashkamim and Yonim in America, just in case you wanted to create Hashkamim and Yonim initial. Okay, anyway, so. So the Bnei Tzion says, such a guy, Davin Shachris, he's Davin Shabbos, he made Kiddush Friday night, he's going to come home and eat Shal Shudas. He's a little hackle, because Rashi says, even though he's Mamash B'chol Shabbos, right and left in the Torah, he's working in the factory, he's doing the rices, doesn't matter, he's not a kosher. So okay, so back to that story. So we have certain Averas, that create the status of what the Gemara calls Dino Ka'akum. What does that mean, Dino Ka'akum? So the original context of Dina Ka'achim was the Gemara beginning with Sechus Chulin. The Gemara says that a goy can't be a shechet. So just as a goy can't shecht an animal, someone who's Dina Ka'achim, Mechal Shabbos, the Evid of Edizar, whoever, the people who get that beautiful, wonderful, noble title of Dina Ka'achim, cannot shecht for us. And the shechit is no good, and the shach writes in the shechit, it's no good in the Torah. It's not much nevelo d'iraisa. Then, as an extension of this, the Shacharor quotes, that if someone who is dinuk akum touches wine, the wine's not mevushel, the wine becomes straight, no different than if a goy touches wine. So we find in different areas of halacha that someone who is dinu ka'akum, such as a mumar, as an avid venezara, takes on the status of being a good. On the other hand, the Gemara says in the fourth parak of Maseches Yevamos, that if you have a person who is Jewish, and then never he becomes an avid venezara, the Gemara actually talks about a person who was a ger, he was Megayer, sincerely, generally, his gemus was chal, so he was kosher, a Jew. And then Nebuch 20 years later, he goes off to Derech and he decides to revert back to being a guy and he becomes an idol worshiper again. So the Gemara says, it's Dino ki Israel, the Gemara says, and if he's Mekadish and Isha, she requires a get. You don't say, well, once he's an Ovid of Azar, he becomes Ois Jew, he becomes no longer Jew. It's not true. He's Dino ki Israel Mumma, the Gemara says, and Kiddush of Kiddush, he requires a get. So how do you resolve those two areas of Allah? On the one hand, we find that his dino ke'akum, his vishchita, yayin, etc. On the other hand, we say lagabe kedushin. So the kedushin are still valid. So how do you make sense out of that? So there's the machlokes in Rishon, the machlokes back to the days of Gaonim. How to resolve those two statements? So there was one opinion in Gaonim, das yochid, that we do not accept at all the halacha. There was an opinion quoted in the Gaonim. Rashi makes reference to this opinion that doesn't accept it. Was the opinion of the Goyim that held that when a person becomes an Ovid of Eretz Zara, they mamish become a Goyim. So they never become a Goyim. They lose the Kedushas Yisrael. Lose the Kedushas Yisrael, yeah. And that's the reason why, if they shech, the shechit is no good. And that's the reason why they touch the wine is treif. They mamish lost Kedushas Yisrael. I said, what is the Gemara meaning in Yevamos when it says that Vuma shekidash kedushin. It's a chumah mid the rabbanim. It's hard to know. Is the guy really a mumah? Not really a mumah. Maybe he didn't mean it. Maybe it's an oinus. Maybe it's a mistake. So it's hard to say with certainty that the guy mamish lost kedushin. We're going to be chashash. We don't really matter in ish based on the fact that we thought this person lost his kedushas Israel. But in our heart of hearts, if we really truly know that he went so off the deck, we became a mumah, we talk about lost kedushas Israel. And the whole din of requiring again is only a chum bid rabbanon. So the Torah never has a quote which opinion rejects it. Nobody accepted it. This was one opinion that nobody accepted. So what is the answer to the? What's the emissary answer? What's the way we pass in the halachim? Avada nevada. He has kedushas Yisrael. Mashaila. You can't lose kedushas Yisrael. Yisrael pishachat Yisrael. Though the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, you can't lose. It's impossible to lose kedushas Yisrael. Elamah. Like I have certain details in halacha. We superimpose the status of an Acham on you. It means some of the halachas, and again, case by case, you have to figure out why Hilchas Shechit Yeah and why Hilchas Kiddushin. No. You have Kiddushin Yisrael, but you still have a Psul Acham on you. So there's something wrong. Anyone who's an Acham, a Goy, is possible to be a Shechit. The guy's almost like a Yisrael and a Goy rolled into one. I mean, he still has Kiddushin Yisrael to him, but he has an additional Psul that he can tramp up the wine, he can tramp up the shechita, but to say that he lost Kedushas Yisrael, and the proof positive is that he hasn't lost Kedushas Yisrael, is the fact that Lamais is Pekash and Yishas Tumah Kedashas. So that's how we accept the halacha. This was a famous shaila in the days of the Rishayim. It was a very, very common shaila. Anyone know what the shaila was? It was a very tragic shaila, but it was very common in the days of the Rishayim. A person would die, and they wouldn't have any children. They would fall for Yibum or Chalitza. There was only one brother. You know what the problem with the brother was? He had converted to Christianity. He had been baptized. And he wasn't particularly interested in doing a Chalitza. So the woman's mamish and aguna. She's going to be stuck. She's going to be a vamal shuk. She's going to be a sur of the young born until she gets Chalitza from this fellow. So there was one opinion in Rishayim that says that you don't require Chalitza. You know why? Because there's no brother. You know why? Because he's a guy. He's not going, and therefore there's no chalitza altogether. So Rashi in the Tshuva quotes this opinion and says, "Lohayet b'mi'ayim." I said, "Never heard of such a thing." Are you talking about these Jewish? So the Rishayim discuss the pros and cons of maybe the other tzad of Malka, maybe the other reasons to be matter with that chalitza. Again, it was an important topic. Unfortunately, in the Middle Ages, chalitza was much more prevalent than it was today for some reason. People died much younger, and so you had a lot more issues of Chalitza. Yeah.
Doesn't the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael Yishnu Chilek, imply that a Jew, someone could not become not a Jew?
No. The Mishnah's talked about in terms of Ein L'Chilek L'Olam Haba, so So that's just saying that a person can sometimes do something that's so off that he could lose his chelik olam haba, but it doesn't mean that in olam hazeh that he lost the shi'as Yisrael. The two different sugyas. One is a sugya in dinei shemayim as to how the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to treat such a person who goes so off the derech. We're talking about a beis and shamata. We want to know in terms of whether he still retains the shi'as Yisrael vis-a-vis shechita conditions. So the starting point of our sugya is that if a person goes so off the derech, mamish a mumin, mamish baptized, joined in another religion, we're still not saying that he's a goy. We don't really think that he's a goy. We really think in our heart of hearts that he's probably still Jewish. If he's Mekadesh and Nisha, she's Mekudeshes. If he's the only brother around, we're going to insist that he gives Chalitza. So we do really believe that he's Jewish. So what was the Machan Ephraim talking about? What does Machan Ephraim mean that because Klal Yisrael, B'shasa, Egel, they were Oibed of an Azar, and therefore they lost Kedushas Yisrael, they became like Goyim, and therefore it's Nitan Shlichos from one goy to another goy. Very, very strange idea. But the Machan Ephraim is going like those Rishayim will say that he loses Kedushas Yisrael. Hard to believe. Nobody holds that way. So the Chayim, what the Machan Ephraim is driving at was that maybe the definition of almost who's Jewish vis-a-vis Shlichos is a little bit different. Maybe it's not so much a function of Kedushas Yisrael. Look at the terminology that Chazal used, Nachman Malach. When Chazal say that a goy can't be a Shliach, what's the Lashon Gemara? Ma'atem b'nei bris, ashlucham b'nei bris. Very, very nuanced lush of b'nei bris. Now, we usually think b'nei bris, that's almost like synonymous with being Jewish. If you're a ben bris, you're a Jew. If you're not a ben bris, you're not a Jew. Could it be that the definition of ben bris is a little bit different than the definition of being Jewish? Could it be that somebody doesn't necessarily have Kedushas Yisrael and still called the ben bris, or somebody does have Kedushas Yisrael and somehow is mufka for being a ben bris? It could be that the Machan Ephraim is assuming that the term B'nai Bris isn't necessarily synonymous with being a Yisrael. So maybe, in terms of Hilchos Kedushas Yisrael, vis-a-vis Kedushin, and vis-a-vis other areas of Yibum, Chalitz, etc., the Mumar retains his status of Kedushas Yisrael, but vis-a-vis Hilchos B'nai Bris, maybe things are different. Can anybody give me even a raya, mashu of a raya, that the definition of Kedushas Yisrael, the definition of Ben Bris, are not necessarily the same? Should that be you?
Morgan was a Havner saying, oh, doesn't this mean that
right. The Lashon HaGemara seems to contrast the two. Can somebody point to me as a Gavra? Can somebody give me an example? I gave you a Mumar who may be, on the one hand, not a Ben Bris. On the other hand, he still has Kedushas Yisrael. Can somebody give me another person who is Cain of Ben Bris, and I'm not even sure that he has Kedushas Yisrael. I don't even know that he has Kedushas Yisrael.
Ishmael.
What?
Ishmael.
Okay, I don't want a historical question. I mean, you're right. You're right. That's a, talk about someone we can point to today.
Evan Ivry.
I would say Evan Ivry is very, very Jewish. What you meant to say is an Ebuchadnezzar, right? It is in Fashbah, on a Wednesday. Fashbah. The Torah speaks about the institution of an Ebuchadnezzar. So I'm going to ask you a funny question about an Ebuchadnezzar. Can somebody tell me, does an Ebuchadnezzar have conditions strong enough?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. That is a very diplomatic answer. Who thinks an Ebuchadnezzar has zero conditions strong? Who thinks an Ebuchadnezzar has full fledged conditions strong? Who thinks Nebuchadnezzar has Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael? Any one of those answers would have been potentially correct, because there seems to be a three Machlekes in Rishayim. What exactly and who, what, where is Nebuchadnezzar? So B'kitzah B'kitzah, we're not learning the secret of Nebuchadnezzar, but B'kitzah is important for our purposes. The Gemara says in the second parak of, in the fourth parak of Maseches Yevamos, that when an Nebuchadnezzar becomes an Nebuchadnezzar, how do you do that? How do you take a goy and turn him into an Nebuchadnezzar? What's the process that's done? How do you reach the stage where you never connect? Just because he works for you? That's not everything. So you have to have Mila. It's a boy, it's a Mila and Tevila, which are synonymous with what other processes in Allah? Gives. What's the difference? Big difference. I'm doing it for terrorist Abdus, not for terrorist games. So the guy comes to me and says, listen, I don't want to be Jewish, but I want to work for you. I live in your house. I'm going to become Nebuchadnezzar. So I get off on Shabbos, and I'll keep kosher. I'll keep all the mitzvahs that Nebuchadnezzar keeps. So how do you do that? Give him a meal and a tefillah, and his nichnas to the status of being a Nebuchadnezzar. And what if 20 years later I want to free him? So again, whether I can, I can't, should, would, but another story. But I want to free my Eved Kenani. So how do I go about doing that? How do I go about freeing my Eved Kenani? What's the process for freeing an Eved Kenani? So the Gemara tells us that there's a mum in this issue involved. So I have to test it for shtar, we have to tip things up. But there's something else that has to happen as well. What is that? He has to go back to the mikvah. He has to have what's called tevila shniyah. And Eved Kenani b'shas shichur requires a tevila shniyah. So there's a machlekes in Rishonim. What is the purpose? What is the goal? What is the tokef of that tevila shniyah? So Tosfos holds that that tevila shniyah is required min haTorah. And the pashas advarim in Tosfos is that kol zman that he doesn't have that tevila shniyah, even though he received b'shas shichur, he does not have Kedushas Yisrael to him. And Tosfos writes with Eirish that it will be Makadosh Yisrael, he's free already. He has a Shas Shichur in his pocket already. If he didn't go to the mikvah second time around, if he's Makadosh Yisrael, of Tosfos, the Kedushas not chal. Because he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael until he goes to that mikvah the second time around. And
I thought he already had Kedushas Yisrael.
Who said he had Kedushas Yisrael? I said he was an Eved Kenani. Very careful what he said. He became an Eved Kenani by having Bilul Tefillah. And then, when he gets freed to become Nichlas, the Kedushas Yisrael, he requires to be Lishniyah. And that's the Dimin HaTorah. That's the Farish, that's the Dimin HaTorah. The Ritva in Masechet Yevamos, right, that's not true. That the whole requirement, Hakol Niko Kol to be Lishniyah, is only a Dimin HaRabbanah. Min HaTorah even need it. Min HaTorah even need to be Lishniyah. Min HaTorah, to be Lishniyah was good enough. Why did they institute Tefillah? Yeah, Kedusha B'Alma, it's a nice thing, you know, it's a holy, born again, you know, going to the mikvah, it's a nice, great idea. But in terms of the Tefillah that was Machnasim, the Kedusha Yisrael's up to Ritva, was the Tefillah Rishayna. So the Parashat Tadvarim is that Tadvarim Ritva argue about this very Nekuda. Doesn't have a Kedani half Kedusha Yisrael enough? When you learn to sing a Kedani, you have to learn this Lachok is very, very well. So it's quite possible that an Eved Kenani, according to some Rishayim, does not have Kedushas Yisrael. In the state that he is, according to Tosfos, he does not have Kedushas Yisrael, proof positive. He requires a Tefillah Shniyah min haTorah to be machlis of Kedushas Yisrael. And yet, what does the Gemara say, b'feirush, in Kedushas Mermalv Mabez? What can he do? He can be what? He can be shliach for anything under the sun, with the technical exception of, Kedushas to get there, that's next sugya, it's Enev HaTorah, that's another. That's a prophecy, that's I think in Zundar did a separate distinct thing. There's nothing to do about our topic. In terms of being a Baal Shalichas, about the Eved Kenani is a Baal Shalichas. So notwithstanding the fact that according to half the Rishayim, Eved Kenani is lacking Kedushas Yisrael, and he's still perfectly acceptable to be a Shaliach, you see clear that being a Ben Bris and being Kedushas Yisrael are not synonymous. If the Gemara's washing the second gift, they're not really the same thing. So we already have reason to believe that the Machnasayim may have what something going for him. That it could be that if you're willing to hold on to the Masas Binyamin, if you really believe the Masas Binyamin Shtibul Torah, that you can have one goy being a shliach for another goy, or to say it a little bit more correctly, you can have one Ein of a Ben Bris being a shliach for another Ein of a Ben Bris. Maybe a mumar in terms of the Hadaras of the Chashlichos is closer to the goy than he is to the Yisrael. Because if Shlichus would have depended upon Kedushas Yisrael, then there's no Shaychus between the Mumar and the Goy. But once we take the Dinim of Shlichus out of the realm of Kedushas Yisrael to the realm of a new Halach Kadim called Ben Bris, they broke an argument. You don't need Ben Bris, you're keeping the Bris. If you break the treaty, if you're violating the treaty, so then you're only better done. So you broke the Bris with the Rabbi Shalom, then you're not in Ben Bris anymore. So maybe we can defend this Machin Ephraim. And again, Machan Rabbah is a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush because the Masas Binyamin is a big chiddush. And it's a big chiddush to say what we're saying now. And it's a big chiddush to take the Gemara of Arizona literally. But at least we have something to go on. But please say, we don't want this to be true. This is going to be very, very difficult in halacha. If this Machan Ephraim is correct, if we are right that a mumur becomes a goy vis-a-vis hachashlichos, that's going to have some very serious ramifications, very serious repercussions, though. Anybody know what the ramifications are? Potentially disastrous ramifications. Because the minute that you say that a mumar can't be a shaliach, there's a corollary to that. What else can he be? He can't be a mishaleh achida. Because remember the din? No? Who remembers? Amatem, right? Not even Rav Asher the Barusa. Right? No one would buy him this. If a goy can't be a shaliach, he can't be a mishaleach. Right? We don't accept Rav Asher's chiddush. Goy can't be either. Can't be a shaliach, can't be a mishaleach. So if you're going to tell me that a mumar is the equivalent of an eino ben bris, so what you just said is that if a mumar tries to appoint me to be a shaliach and deliver a get on his behalf, not going to work. Why is that a very, very difficult statement to make in halacha? We do it all the time. Middle ages did it all the time. And a guy got married, and then 20 years later, he becomes baptized, comes to join another religion. His wife's a frog girl. So here, he's going to church every Sunday, and she's a Beis Yaakov girl sitting and saying, tell him every day, she doesn't want to stay married to him anymore. So she asks for a get. The guy says, "You want me? I'm the Pope already. You want me to come? I should come and give a get to my wife? Come on! I don't believe in our religion anymore." So we say to the guy, "Listen, please, please, please. I'm not interested." So what do? Okay, give him a little bit of the. We're not going to be kaifing a session, bro. So they can beat us up. So give him a few. That's a good coin from the Middle Ages. I don't know. Give him a few something. Okay. We give him a couple of dollars. We say, listen, do me a favor, all right? We're not even going to make you come to Beis Din. We know this is not your religion anymore. Just do us one favor. It'll take you 10 seconds for your old wife's sake. Just for your alter bubba's sake. Just say the following. I hereby appoint you to write and sign and deliver a get to my wife. Just say it. The guy says, okay, say it. Good, go back to church. Go back, do whatever you want to do. You can do whatever he wants now. We can quickly run and authorize again and give it to the woman. This was done in the religion. Nice b'chol yachmerim, but it was a common practice. Come yachmerim and say, if this machne Ephraim is right, then you know what just happened? That get is what? That get is no good min haTorah, because it was never given by the husband. V'nosan b'yodah. It was not given neither by the husband nor by the shaliach, because the shaliach wasn't nitfas, because the mishaleach wasn't a bar shalichus. And you have to find the only person you can appoint to be a shaliach is who? Got to find another mumar. So John's got to appoint Paul to be the shaliach to give a ruchaleya or a get.
Paul write the get.
Oh, that's another story. Maybe he's a labar shmo once he becomes a mumar. That's a sling in the second representative. Anyway, so by side, so it's a nice little Torah. This machne Ephraim, you got to know it. But in terms of lamaisa, we don't really follow it. We assume that. That no matter what happens to the guy after Shechat Yisrael, he still somehow holds the Ben Bri. He doesn't lose his Ben Bri status, just as he doesn't lose his Kedush Yisrael status. And therefore, once you hold, like we follow in halacha in these cases, then the Machne Ephraim Shtikul Torah, the Gemara of Azor just can't fly. Because the whole premise of the Machne Ephraim Shtikul Torah was Klai, so B'Shas Egel became Mamish like Einam B'nei. So by side, let's get back to our main sugya right now. So we're trying to understand this principle that a guy doesn't have shalichos, everyone agrees to this thing. But we want to know, how does this impact our life? What do we care when a guy is shalich? How serious of an impact does this make in our life? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Bavit Tzi in the first parak. But the Gemara is discussing, before we get to the guy, we'll discuss the Gemara first. The Gemara is actually talking about a very unique type of a shlichus. You've got a very strange application of shlichus, that according to some opinions in the Gemara is not even shlichus. And that's kinyan chotzer. We know the Torah tells us that sometimes, in order for a person to be kind of something, I can put it into the hand, kinyad, that's a great way to be kind, I put it into the hands. And sometimes the Torah says, even if I don't put it literally into the hands, but if I put it into their chotzer, into their backyard, into their property, that's as if I put it into their hands. The Torah speaks about that notion of chotzer in two different places. Anyone know? There are two parshas in the Torah that the Torah of a past purpose to be referring to the kinyan chotzer. Anyone know what they are? Gittin is one. The Torah says, v'nosin b'yada. And the Torah of a past says, v'nosin b'yada, ein li ala yada, gag yechatzer v'kafif v'nayin, tabalon v'nosan, v'nosin mikomachon. So I can deliver, for moving to deliver to get into his wife's backyard, assuming that she has a backyard, which is a whole other challenge. The first thing we need to have a gittin, how in the world does a woman acquire something by Shekhodah, but that's not a topic right now. There's a din of chotzer. The chotzer works, min haTorah, it's ma tradition, it's based on chotzer. I think there's another application of chotzer right now. another case the chatzah plays a role. By geneva, mimatzei simatzei biyad hageneva. The Torah says the ganav stole the item. He put it into his hand. He made a ma'aseh kiddush and geneva on it. Now it becomes chayiv and kefil, whatever it is. So the kumta Torah Shabbat says. What would that mean? What do the words mean? He didn't pick up the item. He never really had it in his hand. How did he steal it? He stole his stalls. He says he saw an animal walking around in the street. He says, I like that animal. Come to the house. Gives it a little zest or whatever it is. And he kind of walks the animal, doesn't pick it up, doesn't do mashicha, nothing. He leads the animal into his backyard. Then he locks the door on the animal, and shine. Ech bin kain the animal with a kid in chotzer. The Gemara says, you're right, he's chayv and kefil now. That's called the ganav. So the Gemara has a whole drasha of both of the Bagam and Gittin, why he both of them. Very nice. So you need two psukim to teach me the parasha of kid in chotzer. So Kupti Amarayim, the first parak of Maseches Bavatziya, and raised Mamash, this would be like a Rosh Hashiva de Kashiyah, Lom de Shechakira. What's the nature of this din of Kinyan Chatzah? We know it exists, so Kmin Chodesh. How do you understand? It's a very modern, a very strange din. Because L'chaira, in both cases, they didn't see the other Mamash, the Svachot. So Kmin says, Yesh Lach Kori, you can understand the din of Chatzah where to it. You can understand that Chatzah is Mishrom Yodah Yisraboi. That the Torah has just redefined for us what a hand means. That Yah doesn't mean literally five fingers at the hand. It means whatever, get my Mishrom, so that would be my property, that's going to be my hand. But fundamentally, there's no real difference between the way my physical hand acquires and my Chatzar hand acquires. Chatzar takes up all the characteristics in Halach of the Kinyan Yad. Or maybe that's not the Pshat. Maybe Chatzar is Mishrom what? This is Maya. Five fingers. This is a Yah. How could it be that the Torah gives us a parish of Chotzer? That's something which is not my hand, this kind of? The verse is not so crazy. Because after all, we already have an institution, Halach of Shlichos. I can appoint the Shlich. My Shlich is not my hand, it's not me. And Afa Bichain, Shusam Kemaisai. So you see that the Torah accepts this model of something, someone else representing me. What's the difference, says the Gemara, between someone else representing me and something else representing me? So my chotzer is the lach equivalent of my shaliach. So chotzer shem shlichus shaboy. Now again, I wouldn't have said this on my own, but once I have the parasha of shlichus in the Torah, and I have a parasha of chotzer in the Torah, so I sit around and I analyze it and I say, you know what? There is a certain similarity underlying both of them. It's someone, something else acting on my behalf. It must be that the Kavanah Sater is that Chatzin through Shlichus and so on. So long as you're trying to think Zemarayim, what the nature of the Din of Chatzin is. Chatzin just Shulyad, just simple Yad, but it's Chatzin through Shlichus. Anybody knows a very, very famous Kasha in the Gemara, about Metzia. It's relevant to a Sugi coming up a little bit later on in Kedushin. If you hold that Chatzin is Mishum Shlichus, that's a big problem. What's the big problem? That's the big, big problem. I gave you two psukim to talk about chotzer. One of them is get, and one of them is? Yeah, what's the problem, no? Enshlechet v'avera. How in the world can my chotzer be a shliach? What happened to the rule of enshlechet v'avera? So the Gemara is a whole segment. Learn the first paragraph, but let's see, you have to figure out the answer to that cash. But not for now. A lot of things not for now. If we spend all our time on things not for now, we'd never do anything. So if I say, Gemara is a shavuch, I'm never run. Gemara says, my nafkamina, who cares? It's just a philosophical hakira. What the nature of something is. Remember, Roshachta, remember you once said that when you have a hakira without a nafkamina, that's philosophy. That's a problem. You can't put your teeth on something, you can't wrap your hands around some nafkamina. So, my nafkamina, there's no nafkamina. So the Gemara searches for nafkamina. What if you have an individual who doesn't have the koyach to appoint the shliach? Shlichus doesn't speak to him. He doesn't have the ability to appoint the shliach. Says, there's no parasha shlichus, so there's achis there. So will such a person have the ability to have a kinyan chatzah or not? So if you hold chatzah mishum shlichus, the answer is no. If you hold chatzah mishum yad, the answer is yes. So the Gemara is searching and searching. Who is this fellow? Who is the guy who just doesn't, Shlita just doesn't talk to him. Who is that? The Kotlin. Kotlin Akhtar. What would that mean, Lamaisa? I put something into a field, the backyard of a Kotlin. Or a person puts again into the backyard of the Khtana. Is that going to work? Is it not going to work? It must depend. If you hold that Chatz is Mishum Yad, it should work. If you hold that Chatz is Mishum Shlichus, it's not going to work. Ad kan debri agamon. So, just as an aside, it's a tremendous chiddush for the Gemara. The Gemara said that if you really hold that Chatz is Mishum Shlichus, I don't know whether it is or not, but if it really is, so then just as a Lekatan Shlichus, so too a Lekatan Chatz. Everyone like that equation? Come on. But the Gemara, this is blocked. This is not even our sugya. This is the introduction to our sugya. Everyone okay with that? Anyone has any issues with that? Would you have said that if you were sitting around in Bavel, the Marav sitting talking about this, you would have said it?
No, from the shliach not being able to be Hashem, because we don't say that Kavod is not dastard to the point.
Who are you mechavin to? Are you calling yourself? Are you calling someone else? Close. Same time period. Came Rabbi Kibega and had a tremendous chiddush, and he did a very shlichus for Kotlin. I don't know whether we're going to get enough into the sugya of shlichus for Kotlin in a couple of days left, but the sugya of shlichus for Kotlin, Kibega has a breakthrough chiddush. Kibega says, why is it that you shlichus for Kotlin? Why can't Kotlin actually? It's not a chisaron in the etzem ability of shlichus, as the chisaron is felt in what? Felt means chisaron. It's a chisaron in what? In the mina shlichus of Rabbi Kivega. The famous chiddush from Rabbi Kivega that the chisaron of shlichus of the kotel is not a chisaron in the etzem, it's the chisaron in the mina shlichus. Rabbi Kivega's son, Rabbi Shlomo Eger, who is his chavrus also, Rabbi Shlomo Eger turned around and asked his father, "Abba Zoya, that's true. That the chisaron of shlichus katan is a chisaron in the mina shlichus, then what Gemara makes absolutely no sense." Chotzer, even zolzayin, even alatzad, that chotzer is a din of shlichus. It doesn't require mina shlichus. You don't have to officially go to your backyard and say, "I'd like to officially appoint you to be my shliach." You don't have to talk to the ground. You don't have to talk to the trees. Only the Panovich Rashiva talk to the trees. You know when? This week's parsha. Yes, the Kahanim used to talk to the trees. Anyone know what he used to say? During Shemitah. So the Panovich Rosh Shiva used to walk around to all the trees next door and wish them a good Shabbos all week long. Because I'm Shabbos Lashem. That becoming that you see someone on the street, you know, wish them a good Shabbos. It was machbet to wish every tree a good Shabbos. I don't know how many trees grew in Panovich in those years, but he used to machbet to wish the trees a good Shabbos. The voice of Baptist. So Rosh Hashanah asked his father, he said that even Zolzah and even the Niyah that Chatz is a Shem Shlichus, it's not a Shlichus that requires the Niyah Shlichus. And therefore, if you're right, the whole Chisorah in Ancient of the Chatz is concerned the Niyah Shlichus, why does the Gemara say if there's no Chatz in the Chatz? It's not true. That was the Kash. So in Chiddush of the Kinega that were published by some of Kinega's sons, they quote this kasha that Rosh Hashanah Eger asked his father, and there's no response given. I don't know, I wasn't here. I wasn't present. I don't know whether Kivega answered his son's kasha, but in print, we don't have, to the best of my knowledge, we don't have any response from Kivega to his son's kasha. But getting back to the story, the Gemara of Beferi is this equation, so this equation sounds very much against the Kivega. It sounds from the sinking of Rosh Hashanah Eger. But my thing is the Gemara, I can't argue this. So it came along one of the Gedali Acharenim, who was quoted by the Ketzais. Anyone know who in the world that was? He's quoting. Anyone know who he's talking about? Marika, something or other, right? You have no idea how to pronounce it. Good, okay. So it was a Sefer. He wrote many Sfarim. He's usually known by the Sefer called the Birchas HaZevach. He wrote a whole series of Sfarim. And one of his famous Sfarim was actually a Perush on Masech HaZvachim. The very first Yudah Chavarnim, you know, the early Chavarnim wrote on Zvachim, the later Chavarnim became popular, right? In the early days, it wasn't so popular around in Kashim. So he became almost the authoritative of early Perush on Zvachim. He was called the Birchas HaZevach. I forgot already how to pronounce his last name. The Birchas HaZevach. A few months ago, I was quoting this Birchas HaZevach in Shia,
and I made the mistake of saying that I thought that the Birchas HaZevach was somehow mishpacha with the Ktois, that the Ktois had married up some descendant of the Birchas. I couldn't remember what it was. I said it flippantly, and I didn't remember where I had read that somewhere. Some guy was listening to the Shirim, maybe he was listening to the Shirim, also some fellow was listening, I don't know what it was, he was listening to the Shirim online, and he sent me an email saying, V-State, that he was, how did you know that he was related? So I went into a tizzy, so I spent like an hour and a half Wikipediaing everybody under the sun, trying to figure out who was related to it. I don't know where I read that. It could be they weren't related, so it's very possible that they weren't related. I'm chayzer from that nekudas. I don't know, maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but I couldn't find it documented anyway. Anyway, don't waste your time looking up, doesn't make the size of the difference. Okay. So Kuf the Birchas HaZevach and says, based on this Gemara, I'm going to extrapolate the following Kuf the Birchas HaZevach. Whoever can't be a shaliach can't have a chotzer, the other chotzer should be shmigos. A katan can't be a shaliach, can't have a chotzer. Who else can't be a shaliach? Right? A la'akom. Therefore, Zot HaBirch HaZevach. If a boy can't be a shaliach, which we know from Kedushim HaMalach of Beis is true, combine Kedushim HaMalach with Bamatiyah Dav Yud, whoever can't be a shaliach can't have a chotzer, so too, a chotzer la'akom. That was the innocent observation of the Birchas HaZevach. We'll see in a moment why anybody cares about that. But that was the observation of the Birchas HaZevach. Came along the Ktzois and says, Lohayu Devar Me'elam, says the Ktzois. Yes, it's true that the Zashnik was for a year. Yes, it's true that you can't be a shliach, you can't chopper. All of that is true. But the concluding point, the punchline of the Birchas HaZevach is not correct, says the Ktzais, because it is against the Mefevish Gemara. Maybe. What's the Mefevish Gemara? It was the Gemara Besechta Vedezara that speaks about Caleb Shalom Kainan. Let's say if I put something into your car sitting in the middle of the street, not in the driveway, sitting in the middle of the street, and I want to give you a gift, and I say, open up the car, put it inside the car, the Gemara says, Mefevish, Caleb Shalom Kainan. How do you know that Keresh on Karo, Vishnei, that you didn't Keresh on Karo? Where does it say that in the Chumash? I mean, who told you that? The Kli is a Maisa Kinyan? I know Yad, I know Chaz, I know Kli. So the Shidduk Gavetzis in Bava Tzia writes, well, that's like a Chatz. A Chatz means property. So what's the difference whether it's property of your backyard or property of your car? It's your property. The Keresh on Karo, like, so there are Sugis and Sugis in the fifth pack of the Vach, all the Sugis of Kinyan came on. So Shidduk Gavetz is right. Those are all extensions of the principle of Chatzim. And guess what? When the Prech of Adizara speaks about a Goy, having a kid in Caleb, complicated sugi, no stamnatum sugis. The Gemara speaks about a Goy acquiring property for having it placed into his kli. I put wine into the Goy's barrel, that wine belongs to him. And there are enough communities of the Deen and Nochastan Kashrus of wine based on that. Says the Ktzais, the Abirch says, Zevach Shtikul Torah was nice. It seemed to make sense. But it's contradicted by the Gemara. The Gemara shaped the favorite. It's not true. The Gemara says black and white that a goy does have a king in Caleb, and unless you argue with the Shifu Gebetz, that's good, no one even argues, that it does, so he has a king in Caleb, in the middle, he has a king in Chatzim, but the Zevach is not correct. So I don't know what the Birchas HaZevach is going to do with that Gemara. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that question. But one thing I can tell you is that the Zevach has a lot of explaining to do. Because he seems to be correct textually, he has a Gemara on his side, but conceptually, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Because the Gemara Sheikh of Feirish said, Chatz is Mishum Shlichus, again, according to that opinion, which we may postulate. So if Chatz is Mishum Shlichus, you don't have Shlichus, you don't have Chatz here. So Manishtana, a katan from a goy. When it comes to katan, it does agree to the Gemara Mitzvah, if other katan doesn't have Shlichus, so it doesn't have Shlichus, it doesn't have Chatz. So how can it be that a goy doesn't have shlichus, yet turn around, he has chotzer. Maya, what's going on? What's the pure adama? Anyone thought about that? That already says? What's the pure adama? So how would you begin, even if you didn't read the whole tzais, you got lost in the middle, how would you begin to tackle this shayla? You read, we're just putting together simple gemaras. This is just ABCs. Just learning a couple of gemaras. We looked at Gemara Kedusha Daf Mem Aleph. We looked at Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Yud. We know from the Gemara of Adazara that goyim do have a king Caleb, which is dinim chotzer. So how do all these didn't jive together? This is one big puzzle. Well, how do you have to conceptually go down? Which would you have to go down?
The assumption that we're saying shliach equals chatzar. Maybe we could say that they're actually different somehow, and therefore, really, chatzar is like Abba would have chutzner without having shlichus.
So clearly we have to do that. How are we going to get to that? What do we really, really have to zero in on?
I really say exactly how it works for Hakam, not having two of them.
Well, so we have a few things here, a few principles that have been thrown around here that require a little bit more beer, a little bit more clarification.
You really have to understand how shlichus really works.
How shlichus really works, or something about shlichus. I think what we really have to do is analyze two principles. We have to analyze the principle of ein shlichus ba'akom, which is a nice principle for us to analyze because it is our sugya. But we have to also analyze another principle of what? This is the chatur. See, are they really the same? Because when it comes to ein shlichus ba'akom, the corollary is ein chatur ba'akom. When it comes to ein shlichus ba'akom, chatur doesn't seem to follow suit, except according to Brachos Zevach. So if the Ktzois is right, like you dumb up this Gemara of the Zohar, it's hard for us to argue with, we have to really, really understand ma mishtana, the chisar of shlichus for a goy, the chisar of shlichus for a katan. What is that one lends itself to disqualifying a chatzar of a katan, whereas the din of the Yaakov doesn't necessarily lend itself to disqualifying the chatzar of the goy?
The Maisa ben Yonah is correct. Could it be that?
Yeah, stop.
That the goy doesn't have full shlichus, but he has some levels, which the katan potentially, I don't know, potentially
okay.
Has.
So let's see how much the Maisa ben Yonah may come back into the pitch. Let's see for a moment. Let's say, very often, the nature of a halacha can be understood by looking at the source. Look at the makor. Where in the Torah Shabbos did the Kodesh Baruch Hu plant this din of Torah Shabbos? You know, the dinim, much of Torah Shabbos is found in the Torah Shabbos. You have to know how to do it. You have to figure out first. You have to understand how to darshim sukkim, how to kabbalchaim. You have to figure it all out. But the Baruch Shalom b'chachmosai. The Torah Shem Tamima. Tamima means that Torah Shem and Torah Shem Peh, the Mamash Tiyah, the Tomim, it's one unit. Very often, the essence of the Torah Shem Peh will be licked, will be found in the Torah Shem Chassav, if you understand the Mokah properly. The Mokah for Ein Shlichus La'akum, Agamar Kedush Memal for the days, is one word. What's the one word? Atem. Gam is the Rabbi Shluchachem. And then the Torah is putting the brakes on the Gam and saying, Gam can only include a Shaliach if and when the Shaliach is what? If it's Atem, if it's like you. So almost the nature of the din of Ein Shlichus La'akom is almost highlighting that there has to be a, what was that word?
Yichas.
A relationship between the Shaliach and the Shaliach. Now the Master Binyamin took that clearly to the ultimate extreme, which may be right, maybe not, I'm not sure. But he clearly was learning that way because that led him to his mechudesh conclusion that maybe Goyim can have Yachas one with another. Maybe the lack of Yachas between Jew and Goy. And again, that's debatable. But just from the Drasha, just from Kiddush B'malfa, learning Kiddush B'malfa Beis, the whole din, thrust of the din is, that's the shaychus, this real deep connection between the Mishalech and the Shaliach. They have to be really similar to one another. That's the thrust of it. What do I say? If you hold that chatzah is mishum shlichus, not niyah chatzah is mishum shlichus, let's say you take that argument, chatzah is mishum shlichus. Is it real shlichus? Give me a break. It's not real shlichus. I already know it's not real shlichus. How do I know? Because Rabbi Shlomo Eger already told me I don't need minu shlichus. So zichin not real shlichus. And there's something else that's preventing me from calling it real shlichus. What is it? What are you lacking to the ultimate lacking? It's the ultimate chesaron. It ain't atem at any stretch. I mean, believe you and me, my backyard is not me. I'm walking around. I'm a chai, I'm a daber, and it's a doimim. Maybe it's got some tzemech in there, but there's no correlation. Living and dead. Between my backyard and myself. So doesn't Atem? I mean, come on, give me a doesn't Atem? Elohim. Chatzim Shum Shlichos just means not that this is real Shlichos,
I in a million years that would have figured out. I need a parish, I need a imati simotse, I need Venasa to come up, I need a chishatera, there's a koso, to be marred by this kind of crazy wild shlichus. So it's not shlichus mitam atzmai. What chatzur shem shlichus means is, once I've identified as a chishatera of chatzur, I can say that it's almost me'ein shlichus. It works with the regular rules of shlichus, and whoever can't be a shliach can't be. Can't have a chatzah. But, here's the but. But med devam amurim, if you can't be a shliach, you can't have chatzah. That's if you are a person who is a gavra, apostle, l'shlichus. If you're a gavra who the Torah doesn't speak to in parashat shlichus, then the Torah doesn't speak to you in the parashat chatzah either. A katan, we don't know yet the mocha why there's no shlichus for a katan, but it's some kind of exerts the cost of somewhere. We haven't quite tracked it down yet. Don't feel bad. The Rishonim have different types of kasos for it. But there's some kind of a din that a katan was never given the parasha shlichus. So we have right to extrapolate and say, just as a katan was never given the parasha of regular shlichus, and a stomach katan wasn't given the parasha of chatzur, either if you hold like that equation, chatzur mitam shlichus. But when it comes to a goy, zoktik tzois, that equation breaks down. Because by a goy is not possible to be a shliach. A goy is not possible to be a shliach either. A goy really should have shlichus. The reason why there's no shlichus for a goy is because it's felt as a chisaron in the atam part. But med devar mamurim that we're going to disqualify a goy from the parasha shlichus. That's the shlichus that requires atam. But belav hochi, the shlichus of chatzin never required atam. If it would have required atam, it would have failed, it would have crashed from day one. It wouldn't have made it into the batter's box. Because there's no way under the sun that you're going to call my chatzin anything dumya to me. So once you tell me that all the pratim of atem of to be medam and the shlich mishlech break down by chotzer, because it's just not sure every chotzer is that. So then this halacha, this extension of it has to be a Jew and a goy can't mix, can't match, can't join together as a team. That whole model doesn't make any sense when we're talking about the shlichus of chotzer. Bishlam of the psul of a chotzer, which exists a kosov that the parasha shlichus wasn't given to ketan and finished. So just as the parasha of shlichus was given to ketanim, the parasha of chotzer was given to ketanim. But once you tell me that the focus is on the atem gam atem part, of course there's no chisar. How can you disqualify chotzer as atem gam atem? By definition, it's not atem gam atem. So this is the Tzoyce's famous beer to explain why he thinks the birch zevach is not correct. So we have a major machlokes Tzoyce and birch zevach, which again revolves around us. So you're very in tune with the mas dinyam, not necessarily totally this conclusion, but it smacks of the way that we started off the sugya. So we have a major machlokes of Zevach and Tzoyce. What's the din? Can a goy have chatzar or not? So some of you are probably wondering, oh, come on, and who cares about that? Partly whether the goy has a chatzar, what do I care? No one's giving it, goy's not giving a get anyway to his wife, he's not married. But the goy's not stealing it. Well, like, come on, who might have to mean a little bit? So hopefully, Mitchum will see tomorrow that this machlokes of Zevach and Tzoyce is very much for us. For Al Yisraelim, it's not Yelamaisa. Whether we're going to give you chutz, hopefully that's tomorrow. I'm trying to pick up the final touch on the sugya, and hopefully we'll start moving into the next sugya. I'm sorry.
Talker for chutz
is
Rabbi Yehuda.